Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You may have noticed that I cover a lot of dictators here on Rot. It suddenly hit me that I was doing it because I know that history often repeats itself, and with the upcoming presidential election later this year here in the US, I feel the need to truly showcase just how dangerous it can be when exceedingly unremarkable leaders are given power over the people. I'll give you a hint. It's never a good thing. Now, I view dictators as the ultimate version of those men who drive the big lifted trucks with those horrendous truck testicles dangling from the back. Overcompensating much? The man in our lesson today, Pol Pot, was a Cambodian dictator, communist, and orchestrated the Cambodian genocide of over 2 million humans. No one was safe under his leadership. It didn't matter if you were Christian, non-religious, rich, or poor. And it was all to create a society based on agriculture that he was hopeful would turn into a fully communist one. Now, how did he do that? By enslaving as many people as he could and forcing them to work in the fields and farms after he took away all of their worldly possessions. Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the most rotten one of all? Hi, hello, and howdy, my darlings, and welcome to Rotten to the Core. I am the not-so-evil queen, Joshua Waters, and thank you for joining me on my lessons. Here we like to use my magical mirror and a touch of humor to delve into the lives and actions of some rotten people, all to extract valuable lessons from their mistakes that we can use to help better our world today. By the end of every episode, my hope is that you'll feel more informed and enlightened about this world we share. It is almost June. When they say time goes by fast the older you get, they weren't kidding. It was literally just Christmas. And my body is not anywhere near beach ready. That's probably due to all the honey buns, but everyone has to have a vice. I'm about to travel to Nashville, Tennessee for CrimeCon. If any of you are going, please stop by our table on Podcast Row and say hi. I know I've been on a little bit of a dictator kick here on Rotten, but I have a reason. I keep seeing all of the atrocities that are happening around the world, and I thought, what can I do to help? Then it came to me. Perhaps if we can learn about all of the genocides throughout history, it might help us cope, understand, and in turn, help those who need it. This world can be a very dark place, so let's see if we can add some light back into it. Today, as we learn about Pol Pot, see if you can spot the numerous similarities between his life and other dictators we've covered, and the ones who are around today. So let's go. Pol Pot's birth name was Soloth Sar, and he was born on May 19, 1925, to a somewhat wealthy family along the Cambodian-Thailand border. While most families were in poverty around him, Pol's family owned 10 times as many rice paddies as the normal person, which made his family rich in comparison. At only 5 years old, he was sent to live with his older brother to be educated in the French curriculum. It'll be no surprise to anyone, but he wasn't very bright. Pol struggled throughout school and even failed the entrance exam for high school, which caused him to enroll in a carpentry program. Well, that led him to travel to Paris in 1945 on a scholarship. And there is when he first became introduced to the French Communist Party. He also joined a young Cambodian nationalist group and met the men who would join him in his deadly party later on. Pol became so involved in communist activities that his already shaky education only got worse. So bad, in fact, that he actually failed his carpentry examinations and lost his scholarship. Now, I don't like to call people dumb, but if you fail at learning how to build things out of wood, you might be a little unfortunate in the brain department. Somehow, when he failed carpentry and moved back home, Pol got a job teaching at a private school until 1963, when he had to leave Phnom Penh because the police were beginning to suspect him due to his communist ties. That school must have been hard up for teachers to hire him. Not even bright enough to test into high school. But yeah, sure, you could be a teacher. Make it make sense. Well, what does a man who failed every type of education he tried do when he's set free in the world? Usually cause trouble for others. And soon, trouble became the only thing Pol ever excelled at. When he fled, he and other communist leaders traveled deep into the countryside of northern Cambodia, staying at first with a group of Viet Cong. One way or another, Pol then began to gain popularity among his fellow communists and soon emerged as the party chief of a new guerrilla army, Khmer Rouge. He was also now fully going by the name Pol Pot, which was derived from the French term politique potentielle, or potential politics in English. Kind of loses something in the translation. By 1968, the Khmer Rouge Army started a national uprising thanks to the rural population of northeast Cambodia. Up until 1970, Cambodia was ruled by a monarchy, which was then led by Prince Norodom. That was until the prince was out of the country on a trip, and a man named General Lon Nol began a military coup, and civil war broke out. When he got back, the prince then joined the Khmer Rouge against Lon Nol and his support from the United States. Over 70,000 U.S. and South Vietnamese soldiers launched an attack across the Vietnam-Cambodian border, all in an effort to confront North Vietnamese and Viet Cong forces that had taken shelter there. President Nixon also ordered a secret bombing campaign as part of the Vietnam War. Over the span of 4 years, U.S. planes dropped 500,000 tons of bombs on Cambodia, more than three times the amount dropped on Japan during World War II. And by the time it was all said and done, the number of Khmer Rouge troops had increased and were on the rampage. They now controlled three-quarters of Cambodia's territory. Well, in January 1975, the Khmer Rouge forces began attacking the capital of Cambodia, Phnom Penh. And the city was full of refugees seeking protection. In the city, they bombed the airports and blocked passages to the river to prevent anyone from escaping or any help from getting there. They even stopped a U.S. airlift that was attempting to deliver supplies to prevent the starvation of thousands of children. Something that is along the lines of what's happening in our world today. On April 17, 1975, the Khmer Rouge managed to finally enter Phnom Penh, winning the civil war and ending the fighting. This is when shit really begins to hit the fan. During the civil war, over 500,000 people were killed, but that would sadly just be the tip of the iceberg. Once they won the city, the Khmer Rouge forced 2.5 million residents to evacuate. Along with losing their homes, they were forced to give up all of their possessions and money. Pol even stripped them of all titles, meaning doctors, teachers, civil servants, and all other professionals were now made into nothing but a supply of manual labor. They were all stripped of everything and facing death if they even attempted to speak out against it. Paul's master plan was to re-educate everyone into following his dream of a communist Cambodia. He had been strongly influenced and impressed by China's Cultural Revolution under Mao Zedong. Thus, following the country's lead in evacuating cities and forcing people into a rural farming life. The evacuation process itself was ruthless, as even children, the elderly, and those who were hospitalized were forced to move. Thousands died in just the first few weeks of the Khmer Rouge's reign. Until 1979, they executed those they believed represented the old society. That included intellectuals, merchants, Buddhist monks, former government officials, and soldiers. In addition, they targeted members of Cambodia's ethnic minorities. Half of the Chinese living in Cambodia at the time were all killed, as well as over 90,000 Muslims. All Vietnamese residents were either expelled or murdered. Another group that also suffered huge losses was the new farm workers who recently arrived from the cities. They labored under devastating conditions, forced to toil nonstop on very little food, and many died of starvation, disease, or from being overworked.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Those who survived were subjected to the Khmer Rouge's control of virtually every aspect of their lives. The government outlawed money, private property, religion, and almost all books. They even separated children from their parents and forced arranged marriages. They were treating human beings worse than livestock. There were even strict rules implemented that controlled everything from sexual relationships to vocabulary and even the clothes people wore. Free will quickly became a thing of myth for millions of people, all thanks to Pol Pot. The Khmer Rouge then renamed the country Democratic Kampuchea and even insisted on realigning rice fields to create a symmetrical checkerboard that was on their coat of arms. At first, Pol mostly governed from behind the scenes, like the coward he was. He eventually became prime minister in 1976 after the prince was forced to resign. There were even battles between the borders of Cambodia and Vietnam, and from 1977 to 1978, the fighting only got worse until the end of 1978, as the Vietnamese sent over 60,000 troops, along with air and artillery units, across the border. On January 7, 1979, they seized Phnom Penh, and Pol Pot was able to escape through the jungle, where he resumed guerrilla activities. Well, as the country opened its borders to outsiders, the world became aware of the full horror of Pol Pot's tenure as Cambodia's leader. Mass graves, or killing fields, provided evidence of the atrocities, with Pol Pot found guilty of genocide by a tribunal, though he was never imprisoned. Although he was removed from the military and political leadership of the Khmer Rouge in 1985, he remained a beacon in the organization, which kept on with its guerrilla campaign until the 1990s. In 1997, the Khmer Rouge was facing a significant decline, with many members deserting and internal factors emerging. In June of that year, Pol Pot was forcibly removed from the organization's leadership and put under house arrest by his own colleagues. And in July of that same year, he was convicted of treason. For all of his crimes and the cause of the deaths of millions of people, he was only given house arrest. His arrest and trial were believed to have been all for show, and Pol never faced any type of punishment for his actions. Pol Pot is said to have died on April 15, 1998 from heart failure, but there are some who believe he took his own life in shame. No one was ever able to know for certain because locals had burned his body before any type of inspection or autopsy could be performed. There's also some belief that he could have fled to another country as well, and the burned body was just some unfortunate cover-up. Pol Pot was 72 at the time of his suspected death, and he had spent his entire life failing, hurting, and killing everyone he came into contact with, making him undoubtedly rotten to the core. The first lesson I learned from Pol is that someone doesn't have to be smart to rule a country or hurt a large amount of people, which is terrifying. I also learned that sometimes the only justice we can get is by learning from history's mistakes and making sure that we help to make sure it doesn't repeat itself. And with that, it brings us to the end of our lesson today. So let's cleanse ourselves, and I'll let you be off on your next adventure. Just take a deep breath and ground yourself in the here and now. May my mind, body, and spirit communicate clearly, allowing me to live in harmony with myself and those around me. Let any negative thoughts within me fade away, leaving only positivity and love. May I move forward with clarity and alignment with my highest self, allowing ease and flow to guide me toward my greatest desires. May I always remember that I am in constant connection and co-creation with Source. So be it. Thank you for supporting Rotten to the Core. Let's catch up again next week. In the meantime, be happy, find peace, and don't hurt anyone. I'd also love to hear what you thought about Pol Pot and what lessons you learned on any one of my socials. If you enjoy Rotten to the Core, please follow me on Instagram or join me on Patreon. Both of those are at It's Rotten to the Core. You can also listen to me on my other podcast, Mystery Inc., that I do with my brother Shane and our friend producer Kim. And together we have a Facebook group called Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole, where we can have some fun and maybe learn a new lesson or two. It was lovely spending time with you today. Have a fantastic week, my darlings. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.